first in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Welcome, everyone, to Spouting Off. Gee, it is a darn good thing that I have a platform to spout off, and as long as I'm doing this show, you do too. I am in love with the right to free expression, always have been, not just the right of my ability to talk and say what's on my mind, but your ability to talk and say what's on your mind. One of the things I love about doing this show, even if we don't always get calls, is that it is indeed live call-in talk radio. If you are listening at 1 p.m. Tuesdays and Thursdays to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline on 1590 AM WSMN and 95.3 FM Nashua, New Hampshire, you have a platform. There is nothing better than live call-in talk radio, or at least the opportunity to do so. And as the opener, as our new opener says, without the First Amendment and free expression, you cannot have a free country. It's impossible. I think that the liberty in this country is under grave attack, and I have said so, and I shouldn't have to defend my right to say so. The fact that more and more American citizens have bought into the idea that words, thoughts, and differing opinions are dangerous is, well, dangerous, very dangerous. We never used to think that in America, even no matter how different, left and right, it didn't matter. We all believed that most of us anyway, especially the left, in the 60s and 70s, always believed that the antidote to ugly, hateful speech was more speech. Just watch the movie Lenny, if you don't believe me. Lenny was a lefty. Lefty Lenny. Lenny Bruce, brilliant comedian, became obsessed with his right to say what he wanted. But religious types at that point, he was being what they considered to be offensive. And yes, we could get into a whole nother discussion about obscenity. That's what he was fighting. Now, number one, Lenny Bruce would be put right back in jail today because what others deem obscene is now differing political opinions. Now, it's always been controversial whether obscenity should be part of that, but in those days, in Lenny Bruce's time, it was all about, well, what's obscenity? And someone else would say, well, we'll know it when we see it. That is a totally different question because we did have a homogeneous kind of population then in which somebody was always pushing the envelope on broadcast television. Now, we have the identical opposite of that, which is people in power and control are deciding what we're allowed to see and hear and even think. Not only would Lenny Bruce be horrified, but any card-carrying liberal of those days or the 60s or the 70s, and I venture to say even the 80s, would be horrified at what liberals are not only tolerating but advocating. It's astonishing. Let me get to a news item that I thought was just fascinating. I love listening to the news on WSMN because there's always something that I have to spout off about. And by the way, I didn't even give you the number. Here I was ranting and raving about how you have the freedom to call in live on this program, and I didn't give you the number. It's 603-816-1590. You don't have to be living in our flagship station, in our flagship state for Spouting Off on Tuesdays and Thursdays. You can be listening anywhere in the country, and most cell phones will let you dial it free. The idea of toll-free is not that big a deal anymore. 603-816-1590. Just like the AM dial, 1590. 603-816-1590. So I'm listening to the news, and I hear them say that people on both sides of the aisle, and of course there's a whole bunch of people that pretend to be different, but they're really not. They're all part of the swamp. They're saying that they are open to the possibility of certain of splitting the country into left and right, black and blue, blue and red. I always thought the left should be red because they're hardcore communists. They should be red, but that's another story. So the supposed left states, which are now the slave states, should be one country and the free states should be another. There's only one problem with that. And, you know, at this point, having moved, being a freedom refugee, and having moved from Colorado to Texas with my husband and our dogs and whatever else we got, I'm all for that at this point, because I don't think you can ever, there's no such thing as the middle between liberty and tyranny. Either you have, either you're on your road to liberty or you're on the road to tyranny. And this country is most certainly on the road to tyranny. I wish somebody would convince me otherwise. Tell me, call me, tell me I'm wrong, but back it up. All right. Here's the thing, or as the presidential potted plant says, here's the deal. The only problem is, in his case, he doesn't know what the deal is. He doesn't even know where the bathroom is, and everybody knows it. It's easy to smear him with these communist, destructive, America-destroying policies, because whoever is calling the shots, we call them the whomevers. Whomever is calling the shots, and there's some, but we don't know who they are. I don't know their names, really. They're happy to smear a person who clearly is in serious cognitive decline and pretending to be the commander-in-chief. It's the perfect puppet, the perfect presidential potted plant. So let me get back to my point here. So the news announcer said that people are open to splitting the country in two and having blue states and red states, or freedom states and slave states. That's what I call them, because the difference in liberty between Colorado and Texas is enormous. Unfortunately, a lot of the same Californians are moving to both places, but the question is, are they moving for liberty, or they're moving because they're too ignorant to realize that they voted in tyranny and now they want to escape and do the same thing somewhere else. The problem with this idea, and I actually would support it at this point, is this. One side doesn't believe in live and let live and never did. They have been engaged in cultural and country misappropriation for decades. Every communist, socialist, authoritarian, totalitarian country or regime always wants to expand its power, influence, control, and dictates onto people who don't want them. That's the very essence of totalitarianism. And unfortunately, we have, it makes me always feel like I'm talking about a sci-fi B movie at this point, but we have in this country and around the world a major, huge push to institute, I kid you not, world fascism / communism, whatever you want to talk call it, because there are variants of the same thing. It's variants of authoritarianism. It's variants of a very small number of people telling everyone else how to live, what they're allowed to own, if they're allowed to own private property at all, what they will do with their body, what kind of medical treatment they will be forced into taking, and what kind of medical treatment they're not allowed to have, what they will eat, all of it. It's tyranny, it's serfdom, and it is un-American. So there's always going to be those types that keep wanting to expand. You remember the satellite countries of the old Soviet Union? They weren't satisfied to have control of the entire country of Russia, a very large amount of land where they could send their political dissidents to either mental hospitals or what the heck is the name of that very, very cold place? It's Soviet Union, Alaska. You see, I'm having a Biden moment. Siberia. There you go. I knew I could pull it up somewhere. They weren't content to do that. No, they had to control all the countries around them. And most anti-communists in America saw the threat in the 50s after the war and said, you know what? The Soviet Union, the Russian bear, is not going to stop with Czechoslovakia, Yugoslavia, Poland, and the rest of the satellite countries who were taken over by the Russian communists. No, they want to take over America too. And people, some people, especially in Hollywood, said, oh, pish posh, they don't want to take over. Besides, we think socialism and communism and redistribution of wealth is fairer, more just and generous. Just don't redistribute our wealth, because our wealth should be safe and secure. We're just going to feign generosity by claiming that everybody else should have their wealth taken. This is the height of hypocrisy and intellectual dishonesty, but that's another story. The problem is, it could never work under the current circumstances to have the radical left in control of some states, which they already are. Take a look at what's happened to New York, New York City. All the freedom lovers in upstate New York are being bullied and intimidated. Always the people who live further away from big cities who just want to be left alone. But the left will never leave freedom lovers alone. They cannot abide by anyone who wants to be in control of themselves. They don't want to be, this is the byword of a liberty lover. They don't want to control anybody else. They simply want to be left alone. Those things which we must agree upon in order to be governed, or as our great Constitution discusses and the Declaration of Independence, the consent of the governed, those that in America who consent to be governed do so to protect their freedom, not to give it up. And yet, we have an infiltration of communism and socialism in this country that is so virulent and evil and deceitful, using deceptive tactics to tell people, this is for your own good. We're going to take away your property. We're going to take away your freedom. We're going to take away your liberty because, you know, it's for your own good. And, oh, yes, it's for the common good as well. All of that is what we are watching in our lifetimes. Never ceases to amaze me that we are living in such times to watch such things. The great history, the great beacon of liberty of the United States of America is dimming greatly as we speak. So I'm not even remotely convinced that those who want to separate from Texas and Florida, who states, I'm already calling them countries. There's been a Texas secede movement forever, but it hasn't been taken very seriously. The fact is, those on the left who think that Texas and Florida are just so despicable and backward and flat earth states that they want to secede, don't believe them for a second. No, they want to subjugate those states. In fact, the same bunch, there's a whole bunch of people, moveon.org and a whole cabal of activists who succeeded brilliantly in taking over Colorado in shorter order and in quicker time than they ever dreamed. And they all moved to Texas so they could take over Texas, because they knew if they could take Texas, they could take the country. Now, many of them are in control in Washington, D.C. There's a monopoly of power of radical leftists in Washington, D.C., which is why we're seeing these horribly nihilistic America destructive policies. I didn't even get to my point about if you wanted to destroy a country, if you wanted to destroy America, you'd be destroying everything they're trying to destroy right now. The family, the nuclear family, people of faith, churches, synagogues, anyone who thinks for themselves, free speech, it's all under attack right now. But guess what? I got to take a break. Boy, that went quickly.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Okay, we're back. Karen Cataline, you're listening to Spouting Off here on WSMN. Let me tell you about our first guest, if we have him available. I think we do. Do we? I guess I'll know in just a minute.
I have to call him right back.
Okay. We had a little glitch there. But, you know, them is the breaks in talk radio. I'm going to pull up my much better schedule here, so that I can adequately introduce our guest, who Art had, just didn't have him handy. Okay. Yep, I had that information. Who knew? All right. Also, one other little point, since we're waiting, I just put up a new piece called Forced to Pretend at my website, KarenCataline.com. Yes. My first name is the name of a middle-aged white woman who complains a lot. And, of course, that's preposterous because it's racist on its face. We don't judge people by their first names. And yet that's the culture we're living in. Can you believe that? Anyway, we have our guest. I'm going to introduce him in just a moment. KarenCataline.com, just the way you spell my name, is K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E is the last name. Forced to Pretend. They're firing airline workers because they won't take the jab, and they're supposed to pretend that this is safe and efficient, or they will be, they have been and are being terminated. That ain't American. Nothing American about it. It is the antithesis of America. Now, let's get to our wonderful guest. There is a nasty battle raging in Congress right now over the debt ceiling and a looming government shutdown. Ooh, I hope so. As well as the craziness of the massive defense bill. Yeah, but they're throwing all kinds of stuff in there. Mark Tapscott, congressional correspondent with the wonderful Epic Times, I just upped my subscription, is providing solid reporting from the halls of Congress, and a whole bunch of wry observations as well. Mark Tapscott, welcome to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline on WSMN.
Karen, thank you for having me, and thank you for the kind words about the Epoch Times. It really is a great news operation.
In light of the way journalism is dead in so many other places, not only am I grateful to support the Epoch Times, or some people call it the Epoch Times, whatever, it sticks it to China. It's honest and straightforward. The only thing that's amazing to me is that in such an oppressive environment that it continues to survive. Mark, what do you think about that? Do you think it's going to be around for a while? Because I worry about it. I really do.
Oh, I, as an old school journalist myself, I worry about that too. But I have to say, the Epoch Times has even exceeded my expectations, and I tend to be an optimist. the thing is growing. The readership is growing. The media impact is growing. It's pretty remarkable, actually.
Yeah. And never has it been more important to get accurate information because, you know, one of my favorite Latin phrases, and it's probably my only favorite Latin phrase because other than e pluribus unum, I don't have any, is falsus in uno, falsus in omnibus. Once you find out somebody is lying to you, to believe them after that is folly, is foolish, is stupid, don't you think?
Well, you know, that's been a problem with politicians in Washington for a long time. I think that's especially been a problem in recent years because we have unfortunately, the journalism profession has been taken over by folks who don't know anything about the commitment to reporting both sides. They see journalism as a propaganda outlet, a tool of political activism, and that's not the way you get an informed public. That's the way you get a manipulated public.
And they want to dumb people down. They're doing a darn good job of it. They are dumbing people down. There are people that have... There's an old phrase, Mark. There's an old joke. It's not so old. It's as old as COVID. Do you know why the Amish are not at all afraid of the coronavirus?
No, why?
They don't have a TV.
Karen, I have not heard that. That's pretty good.
Well, it's true. And you know what? It's not even a joke. It's not even a satire. It's true. You know, even in Texas, where I departed, where I am proud to live when we moved from the slave state of Colorado, there are people, when you watch local television news, it's wall-to-wall coronavirus fear-mongering all the time. They never quit. You'd think by now people would realize they're being lied to, but I digress. You came on to talk about this ridiculous budget where they want to spend us into oblivion, and we all need to have the latest on that. So let me give you the floor, and you tell us what is the latest with that. I kind of like the Democrats are fighting amongst themselves, but we're the pawns here. So go ahead, tell us.
Well, you framed it very well, Karen. The excuse me, I'm losing my voice this morning.
Hopefully it was for a good cause.
Yeah, well, it was. $3.5 trillion reconciliation package is absolutely chock full of new entitlement programs, new tax hikes that don't just affect the so-called rich, but affect everybody in America. And, you know, at first glance, you would think, oh, geez, here we go with yet another New Deal, Great Society expansion of the federal government. And that is what the Democrats are trying to do. But I think they are becoming a victim of their ambitiousness here, because what is happening, there is so much in the bill that the progressives, the so-called progressives, are absolutely committed to, and it cost us $3.5 trillion. Actually, it's more like $5 trillion, but that's the lower estimate that the Congressional Budget Office has used. And then on the other hand, you have all these Democrats, like Senator Joe Manchin and Senator Kristen Sinema from Arizona, who are saying, and I quote Senator Manchin, This is fiscal insanity. So you now have an immovable object and an unstoppable bullet running into each other. And I think one of the things that's going to happen is at a certain point, the congressional leadership of the Democratic Party, Speaker Pelosi in the House and Majority Leader Schumer, are going to say, we can't do this. We cannot solve this puzzle. And they're just going to have to admit they're going to have to go back to the drawing board and start over.
Well, I always have great hopes that evil forces that eventually turn on themselves will destroy themselves and leave us all alone. On a grand scale, is there any chance of that, Mark?
Karen, I really do think that, I mean, you always have to assume the worst and hope for the best. And the best outcome in this case would be precisely that they give up. The worst outcome is that somehow or another they figure out a way to keep the basic programs and tax hikes. They'll compress them down from a 10-year projection to probably a 3 to 5-year projection, and that will get the myth of the actual cost of the bill from $3.5 trillion probably down to $1.5 trillion, and maybe they can get that through. But I'm not even sure that they can pull that off.
Well, there's an awful lot of news reporting that you usually don't see, talking about how the Democrats are at each other's throats. Like, who would have thunk that Kyrsten Sinema would have been a fiscal conservative? And you know the walk-away movement, Mark?
Oh, yeah.
The best way to solidify somebody as walking away permanently is when they ask a question or they dare to think for themselves, and then they get treated like dirt, like every other conservative. Kyrsten Sinema was followed into a bathroom with a camera.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's part of what I'm talking about when I say they are becoming a victim of their own ambition. Because you have these radical activists trying to intimidate Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. And I think that's probably not a very smart strategy to use. It will backfire on them. And I think Joe Manchin may be taking steps towards becoming a Republican because he sees what's happening in West Virginia. Kyrsten Sinema, on the other hand, I have to say she's quite a pleasant surprise because based on her 3 terms in the House, she was very much voted on the liberal side of the aisle. So, you know,
what's your hunch as to why she's showing? I hate to ask, you know, I am kind of a skeptic. I don't know if you call it a cynic or a skeptic or a synaptic, but a little of both, I guess, is when I see people act out of character, and yes, I'm pleasantly surprised, but I'm always wondering, what's their motive? What are they up to? I hope it's a genuine desire for fiscal sanity. What do you think it is?
That's a great question, Karen, and I have been asking myself the same thing. I suspect it has to do, number one, with the fact that she would like to get reelected. And the
Arizona that's always a logical assumption.
The Arizona electorate tends still to be pretty conservative and independent. And one good way for a Democrat office holder in a reddish state like Arizona for them to maintain their ability to stay in office is to be able to show on a fairly regular basis a measure of independence. And that's exactly what she's doing. They can't take Chuck Schumer can't take her vote for granted, and that's a good thing for her.
Well, and that begs another question. Arizona has been the central battleground on election integrity, and once politicians don't care about the vote of the people, which is exactly where we're headed, people who think they've got things so locked up. You see that in radical Democrat districts where there's really no competition whatsoever, and they govern that way. If they're not checked, then they don't just take the vote for granted. They govern over the people. They lord over the people instead of govern. And that's the core of the problem that we're facing, isn't it? Your thoughts about that in general or in specific?
Well, specifically with regard to Arizona and election reform, I think that's the reaction in the mainstream media to the report of the on the audit, the recount, I think epitomizes what's wrong with the mainstream media these days. The bottom line on the audit was that, yes, if you just count the votes the way it was counted the last time, Biden still won. And that was reported overwhelmingly as, well, the audit confirmed that Biden won, therefore there's no problem with election problems. But if you read on in the audit report, if you read the rest of the audit report, it literally listed a dozen problems that were found with hundreds of thousands of votes in Arizona. And at the very least, that ought to tell the voters in Arizona that you know, they've got a lot of reforms that need to be taken before anybody can be confident that an election is going to be conducted honestly.
Right. Well, that went quickly. We got 60 seconds, and I want to give you a chance to talk about where people can find you on the internet, if they can, read you, follow you, because I enjoyed our conversation, and I hope to have you back again soon, Mark Tapscott.
Well, we will definitely do that, and you can find me with or without my voice at epochtimes1word.com.
Yes, and that's spelled E-P-O-C-H, and definitely bring your voice, even if it's a little froggy. We don't care. Mark Tapscott there, thank you so much for joining us. When we come back, we are going to talk to Heidi St. John. You're not going to want to miss that. And a whole lot more here on 5090 AM WSMM.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.